Mics are live.
Good afternoon. It is, what did you say, 106 or 107? 106, June 13th, 2018. This is an informal hearing on Montana Dakota Utilities Company / Great Plains Holding Company structure application. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Brian Krasius and Julie Fedorchak. And we have some staff here and MDU here, and I don't know about any other guests, but we do have a guest, a couple. So if everyone can go around the room, introduce yourself for the record, and before we do, though, Commissioner Krasius or Fedorchak, did you have any opening comments?
I do not.
Okay. So kind of speak pretty directly into the microphone, so for the recording, please.
I'm Adrienne Real. I'm in-house counsel for MDU Resources Group.
And I'm Stephanie Barth. I am the chief accounting officer and controller for MDU Resources.
Garrett Singer with Montana Dakota.
Jason Palmer, chief financial officer and treasurer of MDU Resources.
And I'm Dan Quince, general counsel of MDU Resources.
Jerry Leon with staff.
Victor Shook with staff.
John Shue with staff.
Do we need to introduce the... I don't think so. Okay. So, Dan, I'm just going to turn it over to you. We have two of these and hoping to be done in the hour, so...
We'll move it along pretty quick.
Explain, okay. and we'll just interrupt when we have some questions.
I've got a PowerPoint slide here. We'll spend a fair amount of time on this first one, and then I think the rest of them will go pretty quickly. This is how MDU Resources Group is organized today, and I think what's important today is that this is a summary of our organization. We've got a number of operating companies under these various boxes, but all of our companies, with the exception of Montana Dakota and Great Plains, are separate subsidiaries within these boxes. What you'll see is MDU Resources Group, it says divisions include Montana Dakota Utilities Company and Great Plains Natural Gas. And what that means is MDU Resources Group, Montana Dakota, and Great Plains are one and the same entity. It's the same corporate entity. They're not separated. All the rest of our companies are separate corporate entities or LLCs. So on the left side, you'll see Centennial Energy Holdings is kind of a holding company, and below that, we have the Knife River subsidiaries, we have WBI and its subsidiaries, and we have MDU Construction Services Group and its subsidiaries on that side. On the other side, we've got our regulated utilities, distribution utilities other than Montana, Dakota, and Great Plains, and those are Cascade Natural Gas, which we acquired in about 2006, and Intermountain Gas Company that we acquired in about 2008. And you'll see as we acquired those, we put those as separate subsidiaries, and actually that was a requirement that we had with the jurisdictions that regulated those. They wanted them ring-fenced, and that was the right place to put them, and that's the way we proposed it. So you might ask, you know, what is a division? It's basically just an arm. Even though we try to operate these utilities and the parent company as separate entities, they are one and the same legal entity. That's an outgrowth of what was the Public Utility Holding Company Act. That was a federal statute adopted back in the 30s, as I recall, that basically put prohibitions and restrictions on holding companies against holding public utilities. So in order for public utilities to hold companies different than that, the utility was at the parent company, which is what we had. Until 2005, the Energy Policy Act of 2005 repealed the PUCA, or Public Utility Holding Company Act. And since that time, you've seen companies similar to ours who have reorganized into this more holding company structure where they can segregate their utilities into separate companies. For example, Otter Tail was before this commission, I think, in about 2008, 2009, went through a similar type process, and the commission approved that reorganization, and basically we're looking to do the same. We operate those legacy utilities, Montana, Dakota, and Great Plains, separately from MDU Resources Group. We have separate offices and separate officers for them. We have separate employees. We try to enter into contracts separately for them, and we have a separate managing committee for the utilities as opposed to the board of directors for resources. But it's really an artificial separation, because at the end of the day, they are one and the same corporate entity. So if resources were to breach or have some liability for a breach of contract or something, they could look to the Montana Dakota assets, and vice versa. If there were some sort of liability against Montana Dakota, they could look at resources. So they're one and the same. And really what we're looking to do here is make that separation that we have now from an operational standpoint a legal separation as well. The other subsidiaries won't be affected by this. Nothing on the Centennial side will be affected. Cascade and Intermountain Gas won't be affected. Another thing I want to point out here about our existing structure, and then we can move on, is when we do financing for Montana Dakota, the only place we can do it is at the MDU Resources Group level. The only financing, and Jason can talk to this, he's been doing it for years, the only financing that we do at MDU Resources Group, because we have to maintain that separation between our regulated utility and our non-regulated entities, is at MDU Resources Group. So all the debt that we have at MDU Resources Group is attributable to Montana, Dakota, and Great Plains. If we do any debt financing for any of our other subsidiaries, whether it's WBI, Knife River, Construction Services Group, most of that is done at the Centennial Energy level, and then it's borrowed down to the subsidiaries. Or in certain cases, we can also have the option of doing issuing debt, for example, at WBI. Has some of its own debt. So we've got the option there, some flexibility, where we can do financing either at Centennial or at the operating company level.
Where do you do this financing for your other utility subsidiaries?
For, you mean like Cascade and Intermountain?
Yeah.
I'll let Jason talk about that.
Certainly. So we actually finance those directly at the operating company level. So Cascade and Intermountain each have their own independent credit facilities and long-term debt facilities.
Okay, so the ROE that is applied to them, how does that affect resources?
How does that affect resources, the ROE associated with that?
Right.
I
mean, is it based on their stock? You know, does the...
Yes, okay. Yeah. So each one of those companies, when we acquired them, we brought those companies on, and basically what's at the operating company is just the operating company assets that were there at the time that we purchased them. So the debt and the equity that is there is related strictly to what the value of was at the time we acquired them. Any goodwill associated with that is actually held and financed at the MDU Energy Capital level and kept separate and distinct from the operating companies that are there.
And just to be clear, Commissioner, when we talk about financing at that level, we're just talking debt financing. We don't issue any separate stock. All the stock of those companies is owned by Resources Group indirectly. So if there's any need for additional equity, it would be done at the Resources Group level and then flow down. And that would be the same after we're reorganized.
Okay.
So this is the way we would propose to look after the restructuring is done. And you can see the only difference here between the prior slide is that now MDU Resources Group, the parent company, is a standalone holding company. And Montana Dakota becomes a separate subsidiary similar to Intermountain Gas Company and Cascade Natural Gas Company. So that's the way we would look after we're done. So why are we doing this? The first reason
Dan,
is...
Dan, can you go back on that one? So it would be one box with Great Plains as a part of Montana Dakota Utilities Company.
Right.
They're not going to each have their own box.
No, they've become so integrated, and Great Plains is so small, it really wouldn't make sense to create a separate subsidiary for Great Plains.
But Great Plains will continue to exist.
And it's basically just a name that we do business under when we're there. We'd continue to use. Our plan is we would continue to use the Great Plains name for now, at least. We don't have any plans to change that name, but it would be totally integrated with Montana Dakota, similar to the way it is now. Put it this way, there's no plans to change the way we're operating Great Plains from the way we're operating it today.
Okay.
That's got the same officers as Montana Dakota. That would be the same.
Finance agreements are combined together.
Financing agreements are the same. So we continue to operate it, but where we do business now in the historic Great Plains towns, we would continue to use that name as the plan at this point. So why are we doing it? The first reason is create some more transparent business structure. It's consistent with our business model, where we are actually, you know, operating them as separate from the parent company. This would actually create a legal entity that, that reflects the way we operate them. It's a ring-fenced utility with its own capital structure. The debt would be at Montana Dakota. It's ring-fenced from the standpoint that the liabilities of Montana Dakota Great Plains would be their liabilities. The liabilities of the parent company would be their liabilities. So we separate that, remove the risk from that. The organization and cost structure becomes more understandable to all our stakeholders, whether it's our employees, commissioners, and particularly our customers. I think there's a lot of confusion about what's the difference between Montana, Dakota, and resources. And when you try to explain, well, they're one of the same company, but yet they're separate, that, you know, Montana, Dakota isn't necessarily resources, I think makes it a lot more understandable. And here we want to emphasize again, no change in the day-to-day business operations. To everybody else, I mean, we're going to look and operate the same way we are today. The second reason is, and this is probably the thing that really precipitated us, it gives us more greater financing flexibility. We will now, with this reorganization, we would be able to issue debt either at the holding company level or at the utility company level. As I said before, now, since Montana Dakota is part of the holding company, that's the only place we can issue debt for Montana Dakota. Our experience with Intermountain and Cascade, and again, Jason can look to this, is by the fact that those are isolated utilities, we can issue debt there at a slightly lower cost than what we can at the parent company because there's some of the risks that, you know, lenders see associated with the unregulated businesses that affect the cost of debt at the holding company level. So that if we can issue debt solely at that utility level, we think we may be able to reduce the cost for our debt on future financings by a little bit. But most importantly, it gives us the option. Jason and his team can look at, you know, what would be the cost of debt on any particular issues, either at the holding company level or at the utility level, and whichever offers us the best deal is where they can go.
Can you, which one is more complementary to the other in terms of attracting capital access to capital markets? If the utility granted more stability, but from an investor standpoint, different investors are looking for different returns. Not that it's fixed on the utility side, but it's very predictable.
Yeah, certainly I think when you look at just the cost of placing debt issuance at either one of the companies, whether it be on the regulated or non-regulated side, you see a lot more competitive pricing on the non-regulated, or excuse me, the regulated side of the business because of the stability that's there. So for instance, we could see you know, a treasury spread, you know, the risk premium, it'll change, obviously, as times change, but I often see 100 to 150 basis point difference between a regulated deal, which would be the cheapest, to a non-regulated deal, which would be the more expensive. Now, we haven't seen that kind of impact between, you know, because of this financing here, but we probably have seen 10 to 15 basis points of difference in certain cases based on the fact that we are issuing at a holding company level, and I think investors either have two concerns. One would be it could be the fact that they maybe just from a company perspective do not invest in holding companies because there is a little more risk associated with that, or it could just be the fact that there is additional non-regulated assets there that they aren't exactly comfortable with the business structure. So we've seen definitely tighter credit spreads on the direct regulated entity basis than we have at the holding company levels.
So cost of capital conceivably could decrease?
Potentially, yeah.
And benefit ratepayers?
Yeah. We would assume that the cost of debt passed through to ratepayers would conceivably be cheaper than what it has been in the past.
And again, Commissioner, repeat, it gives us the option. So if Jason goes out and prices debt at either level, you know, at either point, he can pick the one that's going to provide the best, you know, the lowest cost for that particular issuance. And the cost of equity, again, is going to stay the same. I mean, to your point, yeah, different investors are looking for different things in their equity, but that's going to be the same under the current organization. It will be going forward.
Correct.
The third reason here is basically creates greater legal and financial separation between our regulated and non-regulated operations. I've touched on this before. The liabilities of Montana Dakota will be limited to the liabilities of Montana Dakota. The liabilities of the unregulated activities will be limited to those companies. know, conceivably now, if somebody wanted to try to pierce the corporate veil because of some liability at one of our construction companies, by piercing the corporate veil, they're really piercing and getting to the utility company, because that is the parent company. Here, by separating it, even if they were able to pierce the corporate veil, and we're pretty good about formalizing our structure to prevent that sort of thing, but if there were a situation where someone were able to reach up the parent company, it would not be able to take to the, you know, go to the assets of the utility company. Timeline for this, we're in the third, we'll be coming in the third and fourth quarters. We're looking at regulatory hearings and approvals. We've gotten approval from the South Dakota Commission. Minnesota has it on their agenda for tomorrow. Obviously, we're here today. Wyoming, we've had a filing there. There's been no interventions or opposition to it. And then we've got a hearing scheduled in Montana for mid-August. And also at FERC, we've got an application before FERC, and there's been no interventions or oppositions at the FERC level. So I expect at some point it should be on the approval of their agenda. So that's the status. We don't need approvals from any of the Intermountain or Cascade jurisdictions. We'll have to work to, the way this is worked, that this works is the parent company will remain Montana Dakota. That will become the subsidiary, and we'll create a new holding company. So we'll need to transfer. There are certain contracts, as I indicated before, that are holding company contracts. So we'll need to move those. For example, if we have a software license that we use throughout the whole organization, we'll need to move those contracts up to the new holding company so we separate those. Adrian's been working on that, identifying what contracts we have that are really holding company contracts that won't stay with Montana Dakota. We'll move our employee plans, our employees will become, we'll separate those from a legal standpoint. So employees of resources like myself will be formal employees of resources. The other utility employees will be utility employees. Probably one of the big things we have to do as soon as we get commission approval is Jason needs to work, as I mentioned, as we've indicated before, that all those debt arrangements at resources, by moving this around, we'll need to get consents from those lenders, and Jason's got a consultant lined up to be working with us on that. So as soon as we get the commission approvals, we'll start having those discussions with those lenders to make sure that we get their approval so we can do that. We're looking at a January 1, 2019 effective date, so that kind of corresponds with our financial reporting. That's the end of our fiscal year, so that we can have a clean cutoff for our financial reporting and accounting standpoint. These next slides, and I don't know, we want to, you know, in the interest of time, we want to spend a lot of time on this. This is basically the process that we will go through to accomplish this, and this, even though there's a fair number of slides here and a fair number of steps, this basically will happen instantaneously on midnight of December 31, but you'll see we'll create two new subsidiaries over there, the red boxes. The current MDU Resources group merges with the lower subsidiary so that the subsidiary above it then becomes the holding company, so you start looking like this. And then we create two new subsidiaries. We move the Centennial subsidiaries under new sub 1 and utility subsidiaries under new sub 2. And then we dividend or remove down Montana Dakota company back down as a subsidiary under Energy Capital Company, so that it looks like that's the final. So from a transition standpoint, our corporate employees will be the employees of the new holding company. There'll be no change in the utility operations attributable to the reorganization. The shared services that currently reside at MDU Resources level will continue to be there, such as the IT, tax, payroll, Jason's group, treasury services, communications, internal audit, risk management, travel, corporate accounting, all of those kind of shared services across the organization. Those will be the services that will continue to be provided by the parent company. There'll be no impact on the collective bargaining agreements because those will stay with the corporation that's going to become the subsidiary. No change to the Centennial subsidiaries. Administration of the employee benefit plans, such as our 401k plan, will stay at the holding company. And that we don't intend to seek any recovery from ratepayers for the costs associated. Obviously, there's legal costs, and the consultant that Jason's working with and getting this through the lenders, there's going to be some costs associated with that, but we don't intend to seek recovery of that from ratepayers. So We will, the resources, we'll have the same direct board of directors that we have now. We currently have a managing committee at Montana, Dakota, and Great Plains. That managing committee will become the new board of directors once they become a subsidiary, similar to what we have for other subsidiaries. And then Montana, Dakota will have the same executive officers that it has at this time after the reorganization. So that completes our presentation. If there's any questions, hopefully we can answer.
Would you go back to the last slide that had the wire charts that showed how everything ends up looking? Okay, it wasn't what I thought.
Okay.
Never mind.
Anything else?
Questions?
I do have some questions. I think I should I tee it up, right? Correct?
Go ahead.
So, right now you're allocating, are they shared, they're shared employees between the utility side and MDU Resources overall, or are they whole, so to speak, FTEs that aren't split?
They're not, I don't know that we have any split employees. They're technically, we call them resources employees like myself.
Right.
And Garrett would be a Montana Dakota Utilities employee, but it's kind of an artificial distinction again because of the same corporation.
Yeah.
So we don't have any, you're one or the other right now, and that's the way you'll be after it's through.
Okay, so you're not having to reevaluate allocations because that isn't,
no,
that doesn't exist.
No, the employees that okay. we have now, will the resource employees will be employees of the holding company.
It's operated today like Montana Dakota was a subsidiary is how we operated today. Just from a legal perspective, it isn't.
Or even from the accounting records, we have a separate chart of accounts where all of the resources costs get recorded as opposed to the Montana Dakota costs.
Okay. So then I guess this would just dovetail along that line then from an administrative standpoint in terms of managing the business, no FTE increase out of the gate or over the course of time?
Yeah, we really don't see any change in the way we operate. To employees, it should be transparent. To our customers, it should be transparent. It's just, like I say, it's a legal separation of what we've been doing operationally.
Okay. Well, you just, I think it's, from a transparency standpoint, I think that is good. I really don't have any other questions. I think it's pretty clear.
My only question, I think, is why did you guys wait so long if you could have done this in 2005?
It's been something we've been talking about since 2005, and every year when it's budgeting time, it was the situation that we want to put this into the budget and, you know, and the resources that we had going on at the time, and it was, we'll look at it again next year. And then finally, last year, Mr. Gooden decided, you know, we've waited long enough. We need to get this done.
Okay. There was nothing special about this
timing. Nothing special. It was just the case of trying to fit it within the, you know, workloads and the resources and budgeting and so forth.
And having this structure with the other utilities, does it work really well? Do you prefer it from accounting standpoint and everything else? Do you like, because you have Cascade and the others set up this way, so you must.
It does work well, and I would say from the financing standpoint, it's very transparent to the lenders that we work with as well. They understand the direct relationship with the operating company and the assets that are there to finance at that level, as opposed to the more indirect setup that we have with the holding company structure today.
Okay. Yeah, each of the companies have their own set of books and employees, but yet there's still the shared services that we have at the parent company that are allocated, so it works just the way it will going forward, except that we'll have a separate legal entity for Montana, Dakota for that sharing.
You kind of mentioned this in passing, Dan, and it's clear in number 22 of your January 31st letter, but for people that don't have that and might just be monitoring this hearing, I just want to clarify all costs associated with the securing the approvals of the plan, implementing the plan, including the NUCO and NUCO sub, you'll not be seeking cost recovery for those.
Cost recovery from customers, okay. No,
correct. Staff?
I think most of my questions were answered, but there was a couple of things I think I saw in here. The incentive benefit plans will reside at the MDU Resources, so MDU Utilities benefit structure So such as like incentive compensation type of things. Are you saying that that is controlled by the resources or the... I was just kind of... The wording...
No, and, you know, when I say that, it's more of the administration of the plans, like the ERISA plan and that sort of thing, but there's different incentives at the utility necessarily, and Garrett...
I think, Dan, you're probably talking about referring to
the trust, right, the employee benefit trust, because there's one large trust, pension trust, for MDU Resources Group. So that'll be administered through MDU Resources Group.
So we won't have separate 401k plans, for example, for the utility. We have one 401k plan that includes all of our utilities, our construction companies, you know, all of our employees are participants in that, and that'll be administered at the holding company level.
One health plan, et cetera.
One health plan. Well, and except some of our construction companies have their own, but for the most plan, to the extent that we have a plan, our own plan, it was one plan. There, we won't have a separate health plan for the utilities and for resources.
Okay. I think that was it. Jack, I think.
I just have a couple quick questions. With regards to Great Plains, it's been described as you guys are so closely integrated with Montana Dakota Utilities. What prevents you guys from, in the future, just filing a rate case with both of them at the same time, consolidated into one?
Garrett? I think that's something we'll look at in the future. Would be to consolidate the North Dakota Great Plains maybe into Montana Dakota because it is so small in size. Okay. So something we'll consider in the future.
So there's nothing structurally that prevents that right now? Okay. And at least from staff's perspective, I know Victor and I both looked at it, and we reviewed what was filed in other states. We even discussed this with some consultants, and we didn't request advocacy staff be appointed on this one because this is something that we feel isn't bad for the ratepayers.
Is not bad
is
for
not
the rate
bad
case.
For
anything else?
Me.
Is there any objection to the information provided today, both written and orally, being added to the record for a final decision?
Not at all.
Okay, so then all the information received, both written and orally, will be added to the record for purposes of making a final decision.
Thank
and with
you.
That, we are closed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you being here.